You are listening to the Punk News Podcast. Sadly, quite sadly. Oh, well, this is features editor John Gentile. I'm here with Sammy B and M Moore. M Moore and Sammy B, how you guys doing?
That was so sad.
I'll tell you, David Johansen is dead. There is no longer any living New York Dolls, which is extremely sad. David Johansen apparently had cancer for about 10 years. And I think I saw him when he had cancer, and nobody knew. And then he broke his back the day after Thanksgiving and kind of never recovered, which is real sad. So we're going to play a New York Dolls song, come back, talk a little bit about New York Dolls, play another song, and then get the show on proper. But we have to give at least some time to David Joe, perhaps the greatest punkish front man of all time, and certainly one of the greatest singers of all time. So this is New York Dolls classic, Personality Crisis. You got it while it was hot. We're back, and I gotta say, like, New York Dolls, one of my all-time favorite groups. And you know, first of all, I will say that there was no other band like them before them. They certainly were influenced by some groups, the Rolling Stones, Bo Diddley, Maybe the Stooges. You know, Stooges a little bit earlier than New York Dolls, but not that much earlier. Maybe Alice Cooper. I don't really know. But of course, you know, doo-wop and all that, and girl groups and all that kind of stuff. And the New York Dolls were so fiery and so explosive, and they were just everything that's right about punk rock or proto-punk or rock and roll. I don't think they like being called punk rock, though, honestly. I think they like just being rock and roll. And David Johansen, what a character, what style, how many different personas. You know, there was the New York Dolls persona, then the Dave Joe solo, Buster Poindexter. Then later on, there was kind of like the more, other than there's the Harry Smiths, which is Dave Johansen kind of as a folk kind of guy. And then, you know, closer to the end of his career, kind of like his suave New York sassy kind of guy. I saw the Dave Johansen Band once in Philadelphia. They were awesome. They did New York Dolls and David Joe solo stuff, and I think that's about it. And it was real cool. I had the chance to see New York Dolls in like 2009, but I didn't go because I was in law school. And I mean, really, I should have went, man. I blew it. I should have went. It was my only chance to really see the New York Dolls, which at the time was David Joe and Sylvain and some other newer guys. I think Johnny Rao might have been one of them. And so I'm bummed, man. It's sad. All the New York Dolls are gone. I think four out of the five died of cancer or something similar. And of course, Johnny Thunders died of drugs. And it is literally the end of an era. It is what's really sad. I mean, well, not really. One of the things that's personally sad for me is I've been pitching to Punk Rock Bowling for the past 3 years. That when Punk Rock Bowling's like, who should we have play Punk Rock Bowling? And every year I'm like, David Johansen is all New York Dolls. David Johansen is all New York Dolls. And I think in the back of my mind, I was thinking I'd get to see David Joe at least one or multiple times. And now I won't. And I'm sad. And I actually could have, he recently released a documentary about himself. Well, Martin Scorsese did, called Personality Crisis. And they were doing these shows in like Long Island or something. They were billed as Buster Poindexter. And I was thinking about going, but they were like $150. Plus you got to drive up there and you know, you get a hotel because you're way up there. And there's like about $150 tolls, $100 tolls. So round trip would have cost me like $500 and I didn't go. And apparently he was doing like New York Dolls and Dave Johansen solo stuff in addition to Buster Poindexter. And so now I really regret not going. And not to make it all about me, but one of the reasons that we get so sad and art is so meaningful to us is how it connects with us, you know? And so the New York Dolls music really did connect with me in that, like, I just loved it. I love the style, the sound, the danger, the craziness of it, and the character that Dave Johansen was. I'll tell maybe a somewhat funny Dave Johansen story real quick. So the first show I ever booked was World Inferno, and that was through a larger booking agency called APA. And so when I was before, and so that show went really well. Although I later learned that the booking agent there kind of rope-a-doped me, and I basically paid about 200% of what I should have paid, which, you know, that's fine. I didn't know at the time. And so I learned between year one and year two of the summer soiree, or maybe year one and year three of the summer soiree, I learned a lot more. And so I saw that the same booking agent booked David Johansen, and I emailed him. I'm like, does David Johansen want to come play Philadelphia? And they're like, well, what's your offer? I'm like, and I'm thinking like his, you know, $3,000-$4,000. So I'll lowball because they highballed me last time and then we'll meet where it's at. So I'm like, I'll offer you $1,500. And they emailed me back right away. Yeah, he starts at $10,000. I was like, ah, I feel like a total jacket. I mean, really, like, you know, they say there's no such thing as a dumb question, but there is such a thing as a dumb question. And I felt real dumb. But now, I mean, in retrospect, I'm like, well, maybe I should have just figured out a way to do it. That would have been amazing. But maybe on the other hand, maybe someone like David Johansen, who was a real character, maybe it's better to leave him at a distance. But that being said, you know, it's sad. It's real sad. He wasn't that old. He was like 75 or 76, which is not that old. And I guess what also is kind of, you know, New York Dolls never quite got their due. Stooges, certainly no one's better than the Stooges, but no one's better than the New York Dolls either. And I feel as though New York Dolls should have at least gotten the props that the Stooges got, you know, and they didn't quite get those props. They should have got the props that the Ramones got, and they didn't quite, you know. And I think maybe the New York Dolls were kind of, you know, they certainly were trailblazers and invented a form of music or certainly a style. And like, look at how many bands copied the New York Dolls. Sex Pistols clothing was directly rip off of the New York Dolls, you know. And so They never really got their due. And poor David Joe, even in his passing, you know, he got some tributes on Rolling Stone and stuff, but it didn't shake the music world. I saw a lot of people posting about it, but it wasn't like some huge thing that David Johansen has died. And it's kind of sad that he never really got his due as a musician or as a performer or any of that. But on the other hand, he did get some props and he certainly was highly respected. And I mean, there is no music better than the New York Dolls, especially that first album. But also, I mean, the David Johansen solo records are real good. I love Buster Poindexter too. And so I don't know, man. I'm sad. It sucks. And New York Dolls, David Joe, rest in peace. As all the New York Dolls, rest in peace. Sam Rem, I don't know if you guys have any comments on New York Dolls and how amazing they were and how freaking kick ass they were.
Apparently, David Johansen was a lifelong Staten Islander.
I didn't know that.
Oh,
yeah. and apparently, I ran into him at some point when I was like maybe 20.
Wow.
Because he lived in the same building my best friend was living in on Staten Island.
Wow.
Oh yeah, my gosh.
It's a very strange little world we have here. Apparently, he did get a pretty decent write-up from the Staten Island local newspaper, which I shall not name because I have a love-hate relationship with them. But yeah, no, it's sad. Like it is. It's not good to ever see your, I guess, idols. Not be here anymore. We just like want to think that these people will just live forever. Unfortunately, your human body will not, but your music will. So I hope you cherish that, John.
I think I was thinking he would live forever. Like I had never contemplated that maybe Dave Johansen won't be around to entertain me, you know. Sam, what was your interaction like? You were just in the elevator with him or something, or what was the interaction like?
No, like it's so my best friend was like going somewhere and they have a dog. So at the time, and I was dog sitting the dog. So I was like coming in and out of like, you know, the apartment complex. And I just kept on seeing this like guy that looked like he was familiar, but he definitely looked like a rocker, you know? And I was like, this is very weird. Like, it didn't occur to me that it was him until, like, after the fact, like, my best friend got home and she actually told me her encounter with him and was like, oh, my God, it's David Johansen. And I was like, what? I was like, wait, hold on. So the guy that I was, like, opening doors for is some, like, real punk rocker, you know? Yeah, and he might have had, like, some weird, like, scary teddies, like, thing, like, merch type of thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm mixing people up, but, yeah, no, he definitely lived in this apartment building, and I think he lived there for a while because they would encounter him, and it was always, like, a David Johansen, like, story. And then, like, later, I, like, looked him his face up and I was like, oh my God. Yeah.
Well, that's a cool story. David Joe in person. No pressure. Any closing words on David Johansen before we play another New York Dolls song? The greatest singer of all rock history, perhaps.
Sorry, M.
Yeah, I certainly can't top that story. That's just so cool. New York Dolls were definitely one of the bands that when I was first getting into punk, I was very like drawn to, and I like a little pin that I wore all the time, and it was like New York Dolls on a pink background. It was written with like black lipstick. It was really cool. So yeah, I agree with what both of you are saying. Like, again, it's never, you think these people, like, you know, they're human, like, you know, and you're in your mind, you know, they're human, but they feel so much bigger than that. Like, they feel larger than life. And when their mortal light goes out, it's pretty like disconcerting and really sad. But I agree that he might be gone, but his work will last forever and will definitely inspire generations to come, and people find what they need to in it whenever it calls them. So glad he was here.
Well, R.I.P. David Joe. Let's play another New York Dolls track, and we'll be back, and we'll start the show proper. This is Tide. Well, my three favorite New York Dolls songs: "Personality Crisis," "Trash," and this song, "Treat Me Like a Human Being." we're back. Sam, you were in Paris. What's going on in Paris?
Yeah, I haven't been here for a while, hey? yeah, so I was on vacation, and apparently I stumbled around in Paris eating croissants. So if you saw a really ugly American, like, you know, going hey, all over with a croissant probably either in her mouth or in her hand, that was probably me.
Was the French croissant noticeably better than the American croissant?
French croissants, European croissants are always better. I don't know if it's like the butter. I don't know if it's just they pay more attention to all of the flakes. I don't know. It's like, it's almost, I get feral when I'm like in a bakery out there or like I'm like every like piece of like flakiness that comes off of a croissant, I will like eat. Like, if it's, like, on a plate, I'll, like, probably lick the plate. If it's in the bag, I will, like, dump the bag into my mouth, like, if I was, like, dumping a chip bag, like, the rest of the chips in my mouth. Like, I'm really good-looking, guys. Like, so good-looking when I'm eating a croissant. I don't know how my husband deals with me. I really don't. But yeah, no, so I was out there, you know, minding my own business, eating croissants and seeing a lot of art stuff because that's what I like to do. But I ended up seeing three shows somehow. I don't know how, but I did. I only had two on the docket. I went to go see two French bands that playing pop punk. I forgot their names, but they're on the Instagram. They were fun. In an Irish pub, there is an Irish pub next to the Moulin Rouge. And in the back, there is a venue. That's like, I couldn't figure out what this venue was, but when I got there, that's what it was. And I was there to see a band called Shoreline. They're been featured on Punk News a couple times, I think. We write about them. I love them to bits and pieces because essentially they sing about a lot of culturally connecting items that I connect to. But they're from Germany, and so yeah, I didn't think I was ever gonna see them because I'm not sure if any bands from Europe wants to come to the US anymore. We're a little scary here, but anyways, yeah, so I saw them and it was freaking great. 4 Year Strong was the headliner. Unfortunately, I didn't stay for them because I darted out of there to go to my second show of the night, which just so happens to be, I pretty much cross all of Paris. Thankfully, the Parisian train system is quite effective and amazing. I didn't have to wait for a single damn train for more than maybe 4 minutes. New York City MTA, please take note of this, please, because you guys suck. Anyways, yeah, I darted across town and ended up seeing a hardcore band by the name of Love Letter. They're from Boston. They feature members of Defeater, Jay Moss, pretty much, the guy that, like, records a whole bunch of stuff. This band called Stereo Estate, which I love. They're more rocky from back in the day. Yeah, like I saw them rip it and it was freaking fantastic because the entire venue was filled. It was a bar filled. And yeah. That was a very, very, like, exhausting day. The next day, I actually had tickets to go see Spirit Box. They're a metal band. It was amazing. They actually played a very fantastic, historic venue called Olympia. Apparently, it's the first Parisian, I guess, theater of, I guess, Paris. So it was beautiful, like it was super, super clean. All I remember is a lot of screaming, a lot of headbanging, and amazingness happened that night. And then I went home to my hotel. I had a blast, you guys. I recommend a lot of people, if you're traveling abroad, go see some shows. You never know what's going to happen. Just do it. I actually had a conversation with like a friend about seeing a show abroad, and they didn't do it and they regret it every day. Just do it.
Sam, do you enjoy going to two concerts in one night, or is it like, is that exciting because you're getting so much concert, or is it stressful because you want to make sure you hit one and the other?
Oh, that was extremely stressful only because I didn't know if timing was like right. Now, in the States, there's something called punk time, I think, where things just run not on schedule according to anyone's books. John, you might know.
Yeah.
But apparently out in Europe, they're pretty timely about like you going on at a certain time and you being off at a certain time. So thankfully the two shows that I went to, I managed to time it out well where I saw a Shoreline because that was who I bought the tickets for. I didn't know that Love Letter was actually in town, but I found out like literally the week that I was like leaving, and I know my husband loves Love Letter, so I was like, we have to make this work because a relationship and a marriage means we both have to be happy. Thankfully I know someone in the band and asked them what was the time that they were going on, so we made it happen.
Well, there you go. So that very cool. Let's hit some news. Scal have released a new video. It's for Tonight I'm Afraid, and the video itself is like a flip book, hand-drawn flip book, and the song is one of the more popular stuff. So M, we've had I think three or four singles so far. There was the nu metal one, there was kind of the other popular one. I think there was a punkier one, and there was this one. How are you feeling about this, M? Are we talking about Scow too much? Are we dissecting them too much?
We're talking about them too much, right?
I
I
don't,
think
yeah.
they're timing this stuff adequately for a release of April 4th, right?
Yeah, it's well spaced out. I don't think we're talking about them too much. I don't think we're overanalyzing it either. I think with each release, it's a different thing. Like it's a different side of them or a slightly different side of them. Like this one, they just released the Tonight I'm Afraid, I think is probably the most poppy thing they've released so far out of this collection of singles. So it's really interesting to see because, like, yeah, the first one had like a nu metal kind of flavor, and then there were a bunch of different things. So I'm really looking forward to this album. The video too with the flip book, like that was so cool. And at the end, spoiler, if you haven't watched the video, I'm gonna spoil it for you. At the end they all get like killed by this beast, and they all ascend, turn into angels and stuff, which I thought was so cool because it's like a reference to the album title, because the album I think is called like Are We All Angels? So it's like, ha, they tied it in. They said the name without saying the name. That's clever. So yeah, I think we're gonna see, well, April 4th, I think we're gonna see at least one more single. That's my feeling. I think they're gonna give us one more kind of taster.
Sam, do you dig the track or you do not dig the track, or how are you feeling with regards to Scowl?
Oh, I totally dig the track. I actually think the flipbook thing is amazing. I would have to say I tried making a flipbook myself once, and they're freaking hard to make.
And mind
So,
numbing.
yeah, and mind numbing. So I did like kind of like piece together that this person probably made like five flipbooks because certain parts were like recycled parts from like other parts, which is totally fine. Like, it works. However, yeah, like it's I I do think that they probably have like a really good PR people behind them, like, you know, spacing this stuff out so that they're consistently in our mouths, you know? Or at least consistently being covered in some which way. It just so happens that the three of us do like scowl still, so you know that works out. But they're also creating like very thoughtful content, I think. It's funny that they tied in the angel things, because I was just like, wow, heads are rolling. And what is this, like teen werewolf or something? Like, you know, whatever this demon thing is. It did look like a werewolf, just saying.
It does.
But I kind of think if they do another one, they definitely need to tie in angels, because they do have that like precedence of like a lot of their music videos like flowing into each other, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. April 4th, the album comes out. I will wait.
I dug this track, and actually this track is kind of what I thought the whole album might have sounded like, you know. I think this tune is cool. I love Pop Scouse, but like, not to keep referencing it, but that dance remix, it's like a dance routine, I still freaking love. My concern, and we'll see when the album comes out, is I mentioned this before. I wonder if there's too many people whispering in Scal's ear, because every track is different. Now, of course, when you get an album where every track is the same, if it's Maximum Rock and Roll, they'll love it. But if it's anybody else, they're like, this is boring. And I definitely do like variety in my album, especially in the albums, you know. I forget who I was talking with, someone, some artist or band, and they said, if you want a band, if you want an album to really become huge, then it should hammer home one conceptual music idea. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, you know, that's actually very true. But then I was thinking, there are some exceptions, like what's London Calling's conceptual idea? But then the counter argument might be it's that they do everything, or that they do ska and punk and not just punk, you know. So here, all four tracks have been very different, which can make for a varied album, but can also make for a very, what I'll call it, produced album. That is, you know, there's a lot of people in the stew, and the producer's like, well, we should do this, and we should do that, and we should do this. And the producer is really producing, if you will, and I don't mean that in a good way. And instead of getting a unique band or a band with a unified vision, you get kind of the standard play producer tricks. And I'm not saying that's going to happen here. Like I said, I was really bummed out by that new metal track. The other tracks I dig a lot more. So I wonder if there's too many cooks in the kitchen, or I wonder if this will, you know, all co coalesce as a unified statement. And I'm hoping it will. So I'm probably going to see Scal like next week or the week after, I think. So I'll report back. So I'm excited, but I'm a little cautious. I'm a little cautious, you know. And we'll see. We'll see. So anyway, overall, Scal's cool, but we'll see, man. I have some trepidation. Let's see here. Sam, you're going to Best Friends Fest. You want to talk
Oh
about that?
yeah. So apparently they announced Best Friends Fest like I think a couple days ago, or well, it's
Yeah.
Best Friends Forever. Sorry. So a whole bunch of people is playing so far. There is two bands that has not been announced yet, but Jawbreaker is playing. Minus the Bear is reunion is having a reunion. Oh my God, I miss them so much, you guys. They're playing Menoso Loso, which is my favorite of all of their albums. So of course, I love that. Rilo Kiley is playing. Mineral is playing their final show there. Texas Reason's playing. Cursive is playing, and they're playing Domestika and the Ugly Organ. Pedro the Lion, Bear vs. Sharks. Like, there's a shit ton of people playing this thing that I love. I'm pretty much going to see Minus the Bear because I love them so much and I miss them. Also Knapsack, because I love Knapsack so much and they never play. And there might be something special, I don't know, but it was stated that Jay Robbins, you know, Jay Robbins, that guy, is playing Burning Airlines songs. I love Burning Airlines, you guys. So yeah. my husband saw this and pretty much said, we're going, right? So that might be my only festival of the year. So sorry, Em.
No.
I'm probably not going to meet or see you still. But it is happening at this weird Las Vegas venue ground place that seems like where all of the weird happenings happen.
Is it where Punk Rock Bowling is? What's the space?
Yeah, I think it's like near where Punk Rock Bowling is. It's pretty much what is it, the Las Vegas events ground. So it's like right by El Cortez and all that.
That's Punk Rock. That's where Punk Rock Bowling is. Yeah.
Yeah. So I literally just booked everything today. So
where are you staying at, Sam?
Nice.
I am staying. Where am I staying? I don't know. I just literally randomly picked a hotel, so that's where.
Well, tell us which one, Sam. I need to know. I need to tell you how good it is.
I know. I'm looking it up. Hold on, Jesus.
Well, while Sam looked it up, I have to admit, while Sam was talking about
Fremont. I'm staying at the Fremont.
Fremont's nice. Good choice, Sam.
Yeah.
While Sam was talking about Best Friends Forever Fest, I was re-listening to the Scowls track. I gotta say, I do love that Scowls track. The new Scowls track is real good. So, Sam, who do you think the mystery headliner is going to be?
Oh, I have no idea. So there's two. There's two mystery things. I kind of saw that someone leaked one of them is Pup. So the lower one might be Pup, the one with the three question marks.
It could be EMF.
Maybe, but I
think who else it could be. It could be OAR.
I don't think so. I think it's Pup. But the
it could be RKL.
The headliner, the
could be MDC,
headliner.
Sam.
Oh my god. You're just giving me every three letter acronym at this point.
it could be ABBA without Benny, just the other three members.
Yes, it could be, but
I'm sorry, Sam. So who do you think the mystery headliner is going to be? It looks like it's a five letter name. If the code goes by that.
Well, it's also it's could be plausible. It might be Botch.
Ah.
Oh.
Only because there's a member in Minus the Bear that's in Botch, and I think someone in These Arms Are Snakes, which another band that I freaking love, might be in Botch. So maybe Botch. If not, what I ultimately would like to see is, like, you know, maybe like Jets to Brazil or something like that. But it's five letters, so that might not work. I don't know.
Do you think it's Cameo?
I don't think so.
Or maybe Oasis or the OJs, perhaps.
Oh my god! If it was Oasis, I would freaking die because I already have tickets to go see Oasis in Jersey. So
how about ZZ Top? You think it's ZZ Top?
I don't think he fits on this bill, does he?
I think ZZ Top fits on any bill, Sam. So it looks good. I hope Sam has fun. I won't be there, but I will be at Punk Rock Bowling, who just added Leftover Crack, which I'm excited about. So I will be out there. So that's going to be fun.
Wait, did you broker that?
No, I did not. I have tried to broker other bands at Punk Rock Bowling, and it's fallen on deaf ears, sadly. But there's always next year. Let's talk about something that hopefully there won't be next year. Kanye's a total Nazi now, like a straight-up Nazi. He's been flirting with Hitler imagery for the past 2 years. And then during the Super Bowl, there's two things I want to talk about. And did we talk about this story?
We didn't.
Okay, yeah. So there's something weird going on. Obviously something weird going on here. But there's a couple of things that really dissect here. So during the Super Bowl, Kanye put up this weird ad that I'm actually surprised the Super Bowl took, because I know for a fact the Super Bowl has way more ad applicants than it does ads that it runs. So I'm surprised. You know, Kanye's been suspect for about 2 years now or even more. So I'm surprised the Super Bowl even took it on. And so he just had this weird commercial where he said, go to Yeezy or .com or whatever, and he's sitting in his dentist chair with these weird fake teeth. It was a really bizarre commercial. And then At about 11:50 that night, I went to the website. There was nothing there, or nothing interesting. Then at 12:01, I went to the website, and the only thing there was literally a T-shirt for sale that had a swastika on the front, and the shirt code is HH01, which probably stands, almost definitely stands for Heil Hitler 01. And so it appeared, and on Twitter or whatever, Kanye's been like, I love Hitler, and I love being a Nazi, and all, literally, that's what he's been saying. So it appears that it's, like, not even some kind of weird art piece or weird agit propaganda kind of thing. It kind of appears that Kanye is literally just a Nazi, and he's selling Nazi clothing. And so, which is kind of weird because he's black, and I'm pretty sure Hitler didn't like black people, so that's kind of weird. But also, being a Nazi is not cool. And so, two things to talk about here. One thing is, A, do we say Kanye's a bad guy and should be eliminated, or do we say Kanye clearly has severe mental health issues, like severe mental health issues, and he needs to get help? And why are people giving him notice? Which way do you handle that? But also, this is where it gets weirder. So at 12:01, I go online and I see, wow, it's like a swastika T-shirt here. And I honestly, at first, I'm like, well, maybe I'm at the wrong website or something. And so I didn't do a news story. And then I also thought, like, and then at like 3 a.m., well, I was still up, there was no news stories on this. And I thought this would blow up the internet in like a second. And I'm like, well, maybe it's been like hacked or something. Like, I actually thought it was hacked, honestly. Then by the next morning at about 9 o'clock, no one had still posted on it. And I go to Yeezy.com and there's still a swastika T-shirt there. And I go to the Kanye West Reddit to make sure that I'm not like losing my mind or that I'm at the wrong website. And there's like one or two posts on the Kanye Reddit about the swastika T-shirt, but it's not even making that much noise. I'm like, I think this is really weird that Kanye's selling a swastika T-shirt and like no one's picking it up, not Rolling Stone, not Consequence of Sound, not Pitchfork, no one. So I waited till 10 or 11 and I go to the website and it's still there. And then I rewatched the commercial on YouTube to make sure I got it right. And it was clear. He said Yeezy.com. I go to Yeezy.com and there's the swastika T-shirt right there. So I'm like, I was waiting for someone else to post it, not because I was worried about getting sued, but because I was worried that like maybe I'm reading it wrong. You know what I mean? Like maybe I'm at the wrong website or maybe he's been hacked. And so I don't want to say Kanye's selling Nazi shirts when he's not. But 11 o'clock rolls around. No one's picked it up and it's still there. So I said, look, I'm questioning myself to the point where I'm losing my mind. I'm at the Yeezy website. It's a Nazi t-shirt. Kanye's selling Nazi shirts. That's news. I'm running it. So I run the story. Then here's where things get even kind of weirder. Still, no one picked this up till about 4 o'clock. And then at about 4 o'clock, other news publications started picking up, but they really started picking up the next day. And they definitely picked it up from Punk News because the first few people that ran it after us, like 6 hours after they ran it, you like had the facts in the exact order that I put them in, which, listen, all the wet news websites look at each other, and that's just, you know, that's fine, and that's just how it is. When I've gone to other websites for news, I've done the same thing too often, where you put the facts in the same order, you know what I mean, just because you're like rewriting the article. And so I would bet a lot of money that the initial people that ran this, including some big publications, like I don't know if they waited for us to post it, but they appeared to wait for someone else to post it. And then we were literally the first news post, especially the first music publication to post this. And all the other biggies definitely saw that we were doing it, copied ours, and then went with it like 6 or 7 hours later, which is weird. So the point being is, why did it take – and you can even see in the comment section of our article, I'm asking people, how come no one is posting about this? And no one really could give me a straight answer. And then someone was like, well, other people are, but they weren't. And so it's not like people are looking to protect Kanye. I mean, Kanye's name has been mud for the past 2 years or so. So what? Why did everyone kind of not post about this until we did? That's like, is there something? Am I missing something? Is there some weird conspiracy going down? Sam, what's your opinion on that? And Kanye, villain or person in dire need of help?
Okay, so let me address the Kanye thing because I think it's going to help address the second part of my question. So apparently I follow the Kardashians a little too long. I just need mind-numbing things to watch sometimes, you people. So he was diagnosed as having a bipolar disorder for a while. And apparently was re-diagnosed to something else recently. So apparently now he is claiming he is autistic. This is what he's saying, right? So he pretty much took himself off of bipolar medication. So that might help give light to maybe some of the stuff that is happening because apparently, if you haven't, if you don't follow Kanye ever, I try not to, but it just happens because popular culture, he's still in it. His wife, Bianca, went to, was it a music award ceremony almost
Some
naked?
big thing, yeah. You're totally, literally naked with a see-through dress, like a literal see-through dress, naked.
Exactly. So, and
Oh, okay.
apparently, she doesn't really have opinion on much most things like
I think she filed for divorce though, actually, after that.
yeah well I think at that point she had to because it was looking pretty bad for her yeah so I think putting that into light the fact that he's not on any medication and he is autistic or has autism that is one piece. I think the fact So I don't think he is a bad person. I just think he is not all there, maybe. Because he does like, have a clothing brand and he does still rap and like people do eat up his stuff, So I think he is functioning enough where he is getting stuff done. Also, isn't Elon Musk also autistic?
He has Asperger's,
Oh,
apparently. Oh,
Asperger's. Okay.
he's got Asperger's, all right, Elon.
Okay. All right. So there's that. So when it comes to people not picking it up, I think it's a touchy subject. I also think the fact that he put a swastika on a t-shirt is also a very touchy subject, and I think people were probably waiting to get more data or information, like vetting things, like what is this? Did Kanye get hacked or not? I think maybe they were hoping he got hacked.
Sam, you don't think there's some like big conspiracy behind all of it. You just think we were just the first to take the plunge.
Yeah, I think we were just first to take the plunge. I don't think there is a conspiracy. I think people were treading lightly on the subject because it is one Kanye and two the content of what is on this shirt. I'm actually more interested in who the heck bought this stupid shirt.
Yeah.
And because now there's stuff. If someone bought it, now it's getting disseminated on people's bodies, like if it was branding, right? So those people, I would like to ask, did you buy it because of the logo that's on the shirt, or did you buy it because it was a Kanye item?
What I'd also like to know is how, like, Kanye obviously isn't doing this all himself. How do he find the web designer to say, oh, this is fine? How do he find the t-shirt printer to say this is fine? How do he find the distributor to say, yeah, we'll do this? Like, how did he find so many people to go along with this insane idea? And I mean insane in the literal sense.
John, if when you're Kanye West, you can find anyone to do things for you.
Yeah, I guess that's the answer.
Clearly, he had
True.
a wife that walked around naked all the time, so
And what's your hot take on Kanye and the swastika t-shirt?
my hot take is swastikas in the Nazi sense are bad and should not be on anything and should be They're symbols of hate, they're symbols of bigotry, they're symbols of, like murder and genocide, and it's absolutely disgusting. And with Kanye West, like I definitely think he does have like mental health issues and stuff like that, but I don't think that's an excuse for selling something that is associated with again all the stuff I just said. I'm surprised that the shop lasted as long as it did. I thought that it would be taken down quite quickly, and that was something I was thinking about, and I was like, well, why, right? And the site wasn't called swastikat-shirt.com, the site wasn't called Khmer white supremacist or racist or whatever, right? It was just like yeezy.com. So Shopify probably just thought, oh, he's doing a thing about his clothing line and is releasing like a new fashion thingy, and probably didn't really look into it. Sam, I agree with you. Like, I want to know who bought the shirt, because like, and also why they bought it, because it's hard to justify that you bought something because it was a celebrity, even though you know it's something that's wrong. And it's like, well, those people probably wouldn't be buying it. It'd be people who agree with him or agree with the what the shirt represents. And for why I don't think it was covered was, I think maybe two things. The first thing is people didn't want to get embroiled in all this. They didn't want to talk about it and didn't really want to shine a light on it, because again, if you don't fan the flame, it'll die down. But then you're in that position where it's like, well, it's very like dangerous ideology, which needs to be again like addressed. And so that's one thing. And then I think in another sense, I don't think people knew. I think it was like they might have saw the commercial and they're just like, oh, he's doing a clothing thing, and not looked into it or something. So those are my thoughts on the matter. John, do you have anything else?
Listen, I'm not going to defend Kanye. I think he's got real problems, and sometimes you'll see something like, well, being autistic doesn't make you say racist stuff, which may or may not be true. But that being said, is, two jobs ago, I worked with a lot of people that were incapacitated or mentally ill, and a lot of them say really, really whacked out stuff, and so mental illness can make you say whacked out. People say it doesn't make you, but it actually does make you say whacked out stuff, because well, there's any number of reasons, that you can read any number of medical journal for that. That being said, I'm not interested in defending Kanye. I think he's got severe problems, and I think he needs to go away. And I think he needs to get mental health treatment. And lastly, I would say I actually think it's the end of Kanye. I don't think there's going to be any big comeback for Kanye, or even a medium comeback. I think it's the end. Sam and M, is it the end of Kanye, or will Kanye return to pop collective consciousness?
I hope it's the end of Kanye. I would rather lo like I would rather see him live a normal life with his kids and, not be a psycho. But then again, he's also the type of person that always needs to have attention on him. So I guess when he gets bored, he'll figure something out to make himself relevant. I'm also not on the camp of people that like, lives and breathes whatever he says, because I'm sure there is people out there that's like, Kanye's still God, to them. My thing is, I was like, when he started rooting for the bad government in America, I was like, nope, there's something up here. A lot of something wrong. I need him to go away and just be normal.
And do you think it's the end?
Ooh. I don't think it'll ever be the end. I think kind of like what Sam said, like he'll always be in the public consciousness, whether for a good reason or a bad reason. And yeah, I hope he gets the help that he needs.
Well, let's play a song and come back, and Em will tell us about the festival she's going to. And play tune and come back and tell us about the festival that you're going to.
Yeah, okay. So I am going to play Danger Girl by Toronto skate punks Shiv and the Carvers. That is off their upcoming EP, Tell Me You Love Me Again. Are we back?
I think so,
I
right?
think we're back. Okay. Yeah, so we were kind of talking about festivals earlier, and Poosafest has announced its lineup for this year. Like its full lineup, because they announced like, the first wave a while ago. And the first wave was really, really cool. They had Frank Turner on it, Toys That Kill, Thunder Queens, Dim Wizard, Warriors, Apes of State, Chris Farren, Teens in Trouble, Benton Armé, Sam I Am, Holy Mess, Oceanator, like a lot of really, really, really great bands. So then they released so many more. And whoops. The band I just played, Shiv and the Carvers, they will be there. And I am so excited to see them. Because they're gonna kick ass. They're gonna be so good. Also, Subhumans are playing.
Nice.
And I am so excited. Like, I want to see that band so much. And like, I know they've toured Canada and it's been a situation where it just the dates haven't worked out and everything. So this had better work out. That's all I'm saying. You know, I really, oh, I want to see them. I want to see them so bad. And they're just incredible, like, addition to the lineup and not a band that I was expecting. Like, I didn't really have any expectations for who would be on the bill. I was just kind of waiting and hoping there'd be some like really, really cool people. And to be honest, like, it blew me away because it's like Subhumans. There's also like Fucked Up and the Slackers and Drug Church and No Bro and the OPGMs and like Wine Lips are there. Oh my God, there's so many. I had like a whole list. Yeah, Thick, Ray Gun Cowboys, Teenage Halloween, Spite House, Gulliam, Brutal Youth Are Back, Slaughterhouse, Pomegranate, Filthy Radicals, Chinese Medicine, Jerk Off Diary, who are incredible. And just like every single band is exciting. In my opinion, or like there's some obviously they don't know, but the ones I know I'm extremely excited about. I am going to eat so much poutine and croissants. I know they're probably not like France croissants, but they're still really good.
I'm sorry, I'm
Eating
just like a
spongy
snob
bagels.
for some croissants.
Croissant. I would like some croissant. Well, that sounds exciting. Here's what else is exciting. Billy Idol is going to release a new album. He's going on tour this summer with Joan Jett. The new album is called Dream Into It. It's out April 25 on Dark Horse. Joan Jett, Avril Lavigne, and Alison Mosshart make some guest appearances. He released the lead track Still Dancing. And listen, man, Billy Idol is the man. I have seen him once before. He was awesome. I'm going to see him this summer. He's put out two pretty good EPs, actually, in the past 3 or 4 years. I've pre-ordered the new record. The lead single, honestly, it sounds good, not great. It's cool. I think the record will be good. Probably good, like the two EPs. But I'm just psyched that Billy Idol's out there touring and doing stuff, and I can't wait to see him. M, Billy Idol, are you excited or you do not care?
I wasn't expecting, well, I guess it makes sense with the like the big tour and stuff that there'd be something coming out. So it's cool that he's still making music and still obviously like wants to do it. The song surprised me. I went in not really having any expectations because it was like, ah, it's gonna either sound really cool or it's gonna sound kind of crappy. And it was really good. It was very like catchy. It was very fun. Oh, like the video was all right, but it was, I think the song benefits from not having it, in my opinion. But yeah,
Why
like,
do you say that?
I don't know. It just kind of took away from the song for me. Like, some of the parts were kind of fun, like him going or the record store where they're going through his old stuff and him kind of walking and like dancing in the club. But like, some things just kind of felt really forced. And I don't know, just the video didn't flow for me. I liked the song.
Yeah, I think I agree in
But
that, like, they like it feels like they got like a video producer to say, you know, get some young hip people dancing and going crazy over Billy Idol, and we'll have just Billy Idol standing there. You
yeah.
know, it feels not organic.
Yeah, exactly. It's just everything's posed and stuff.
Yes.
Well, I think the point is he's still dancing and he's not dancing by himself anymore.
Hey.
Sam's sad joke of the day. So I think, yeah, it was a little weird that he was just standing there and everyone is raving around him. But then again, what would a guy his age actually be doing in a club anyways?
Because he's Billy Idol, Sam. He's Billy Idol.
Well, I'm just saying, I was like, if I saw someone his age and he's not on stage, I don't know if I would want to bump and grind that. You know? Because there was a lot of bumping with all the younger folks around him. It was almost like there was a parting of a sea that happened and he was just there. It was very awkward, in my opinion. And there was a lot of smoke. Smoke effects, man. So much
There
of that.
was.
Well, even though Sam hates Billy Idol, I love Billy Idol, and I'm excited for this. I think it'll be cool, and I'm very excited to see him live. Here's just a couple of quick news stories. Integrity has finally acknowledged they're working on a new album. They mentioned it a couple of years ago. They did it sort of through a roundabout way. Alex, who runs the relaunched Dark Empire Records, which was formed by Dwight Hellion of Integrity, stated that he's done recording his parts for the new Integrity album, and he's kind of a noise musician. So that does indeed confirm that a new Integrity album is in the works. It's been almost literally 10 years since the last one, which is crazy. The last Integrity record, Howling for the Nightmare Shall Consume, was a real comeback for the band, and it definitely birthed the new era for them because it was super fantastic. It's my second favorite Integrity album after Humanity is the Devil. And so I thought they were going to, you know, just immediately keep the momentum going and whip right into a new record. They did put out an EP. But then Dom Romeo, the guitar player who helped rejuvenate the band, kind of stepped back from his role. And so I guess Integrity is now working on yet again another rebirth, which they've rebirthed themselves like four or five times, which is cool. Aaron Melnick, the original Integrity guitarist, has been seen with them and playing some shows with them. So I would guess that he's going to be part of it. I'm super psyched that there's going to be noise parts on it. Dwight Hellion has literally put out dozens of noise records and tapes since the last Integrity album. So I would expect noise to be featured prominently on this record, which I'm all for. I think it's going to be kind of some classic Integrity thrashing, smashing, and a lot of whacked out Throbbing Gristle style noise, which might freak out some Integrity fans, but Integrity fans are used to the band being pretty weird. So I think it's going to be real cool. My only thing is, let's hear it, boys. It's been like 8 years since the last LP. Let's get this on out. Em and Sam, I don't know if you have any comments on Integrity or not.
No.
Well, also, Melvins are releasing a new record. They actually just released a record with Napalm Death called Imperial Death March, and they're going on tour with Napalm Death this summer. The Imperial Death March album, which is Melvins and Napalm Death together, not split, together on the same album. Fantastic. Friggin' fantastic. I mean, I'm a huge Melvins fan, and they put out 1 to 3 albums a year. And so they're all pretty good. But at this point, usually when you get one, you're like, yeah, this is good, man. This is real good. But Imperial Death March, I'm like, holy shit, this is one of the best things they've ever done. It is friggin' amazing. And it's actually got some noise parts on it, and it's weird and freaky. The new album is called Melvins, is a 1983 Melvins record. And so it's Buzz Osborne, original drummer, Matt Dillard. And Dale Crover's not on it, presumably because he had some back surgery, I guess, while they were recording this. But also Void Mains, electronic artist, is stepping in on this too. There's one single out so far, Victory of the Pyramids. I think it's totally rad, and I'm super psyched. And I think this is going to be another absolute Melvins classic, although they don't even need to make it a classic because Imperial Death March was freaking awesome. Sam or Emma, I don't know if you guys have any comments on Melvins, but also, can a band be too prolific? Like, Melvins literally put out like 3 albums a year. Can a band be too prolific? Prolific.
I expect you to rank every single song for your end of the year that Melvins put out this year.
That's going to be a lot of songs, Sam.
I know. It's an expectation now.
Melvins put out so much material that Sam is probably alluding to this. Is I do top 5 Melvins releases of the year every year.
Yeah, you do.
And can a band be too prolific?
I don't think so. I don't think so, because even if you don't listen to everything, you have a variety where you can kind of pick and choose what era of the band you want to listen to, like what sounds they were exploring, you know, which is always fun. That's what I like doing with Fucked Up.
Well, here's another fun, quick story. Peach Kelly Pop is back, and they're going on tour to Tokyo. And actually, they might already be there. Let's see here. No, they're not. They're gone there in April. And also, much in a Melvins fashion, when Melvins absorbed the Big Misses into the band completely, Peach Kelly Pop has absorbed Dog Party into the band. So Peach Kelly Pop is now 50% Dog Party. I love Dog Party. I like Peach Kelly Pop a lot. I think this is a great mix. And I hope they do a U.S. tour with this lineup. This looks cool. Sam or Em, any comments on Peach Kelly Pop and Dog Party? And also, can you think of a time when one of your favorite bands absorbed someone else into the band or another members of a band and became even better?
Well, I would have to say that if they're going to Japan, and Japan is also another favorite place of mine. Japan's gonna love them. I've seen multiple shows in Japan, and I've always had fun, even though I have no idea what anyone says. So good job, guys. I mean, gals. Right now, I think a Wilhelm Scream is in recording stuff, and they have literally absorbed Ben from Heart Sounds. And right now, that is my favorite thing in the world because I adore Ben, and I adore a Wilhelm. So I look forward to hearing so much riffs, like that's probably going to melt my face and ears, real soon. M.
Yeah, I can't really think of a time when a band kind of like consumed another band sort of thing, like
How about when Kebby
melded with
Cooley
them.
consumed
But
Mean Jeans? That was a cool tour.
yeah. But there's lots of like bands that have rotating lineups where the people play in multiple or have played in multiple bands, and I really like that stuff, right? Like it's single mothers, pretty much every like GTA band has had a member of single mothers in there at one point, or they've played with single mothers or something. It's just a cool little like thing. In examples like the Dirty Nil, like they've all played in the band. Ross left Dirty Nil. He played with single mothers for a little bit after he left. You know, so like stuff like that's fun. I'm all for bands doing stuff together, and if they want to become one big super band, that's always really exciting too.
Or how about when Jell-O consumed the Melvins and made the Jelvins, which is probably my favorite mashup band ever. So that being said, I am definitely psyched for this, and I hope that what if they did an album? That'd be freaking amazing, actually. So I hope they do a tour. I hope they do an album. I hope they play USA. That would be cool. Here's one last story, and then we'll wrap this one up. I'm going to focus on this a little bit. Peter Murphy has announced a new solo record. The new solo record is called Swoon, and it's his second album with Youth of Killing Joke and Youth of Paul McCartney's Fireman. Peter Murphy's last album was Lion, which was also with Youth, and honestly, it's by far his best album. But that's not saying much because most Peter, I love Bauhaus, but most Peter Murphy albums are so boring. The lead track Swoon, it's cool. It wasn't quite as it's a little more dancey than I thought it was going to be. The last one with Youth was a bit more post-punk or goth or industrial. This one's a little bit more dance. Well, actually, industrial is the wrong word. I would say post-punk or even post-rock or goth. This one's a little bit more dancey, maybe a little bit more industrial. I thought it was cool. I wasn't in love with it, but what I'm more and so Silver Shade is out May 9, and of course Peter Murphy's been having a lot of problems over the past 2 years. He's canceled like five tours or three tours in the past 2 years. So man, I don't know, man. I think it might be a little too soon. But putting that aside, what's more important is let's talk about this promo pic. And if you haven't seen the promo pic, go to Punk News and Google Peter Murphy. And it's got Peter Murphy in I don't know what kind of hat. It's sort of a fedora, but I don't think it's technically a fedora. It's something akin to a fedora. Then he's wearing a t-shirt, and he's got on like a what I call a nightclub shirt. Sam, what do you call that, nightclub shirt?
That is definitely a nightclub shirt or a pimp shirt. I don't know.
The
But
pimp shirt.
there's a lot happening here.
But see, and honestly, if it was just that against the black background, I might let it slide. But then he's like standing on a balcony against the bright blue sky, and there's a whole bunch of buildings behind him. And so it's like it's actually kind of tough to see him in the picture because the background is so busy, perhaps like the Mona Lisa. Except for the Mona Lisa, of course, is mostly black, so she pops out where Peter Murphy in his pimp shirt kind of blends into the background. So I'm gonna throw this to Sam first. Sam, do you have an opinion on Bauhaus? B, the fedora, the pimp shirt, the overall style. Where do you stand, and what do you think of the composition of this photo as a whole? Because Sam, of course, did go to art school, and Sam knows way more about art than most anybody else. And she's got an excellent art taste.
So I don't have an opinion on Bauhaus, although I did kind of like the new waviness of this track. I did not like the vocals on it. I'm also not like a fan of Nine Inch Nails or any of that. So, I'll just leave that there. This photo is
This is the official PR photo, by the way. Like, I didn't just like
yes.
snag it. Like, this is the official PR photo.
When I saw this article, I literally asked myself, is this AI?
It does look AI,
This,
doesn't it?
yeah, like, where is this? I'm like looking at it and I'm like, is this like him in some kind of weird condo in Brooklyn or like trying to look like into the city? Because I see the skyline in the back and I'm like, is this not even Brooklyn? Where is this? Like, I was so confused. The shirt, yes. This looks like a pimp could wear it. This looks like I'm not even sure like what's up because it's like not even buttoned up all the way. It's like buttoned up, but like except for three buttons or two buttons and a black shirt underneath. So it's like, are you telling me that you got this? Did your stylist do this to you? Like, because I would like fire that person, right? Or were you just like, oh yeah, well, I'm getting undressed. Oh no, I have to take this photo. So just do it like this, Like, I'm like trying to get in the head. The hat. Why? Why do you need this hat? It's like it's kind of like the hat is not doing your head or face justice here. I can't even see one eyeball. Like, I barely see one eyeball. Isn't that sunny? You needed a hat. Yeah, everything about this screams weird AI to me. Every like even the puffy clouds look too puffy.
That's
Like,
true.
they look too happy for me or angry to some. And just the railing behind him, I'm like, that just looks like fake. I
It
would not
does.
be sh yeah, like I would not be shocked if this was not AI, but he w took a photo like on a green screen and got this like composition made by like a kid in art school. I don't know. I'm sorry to whoever took this photo and or made this photo. Oh boy.
Sam, as you say, I noticed as you say this, if you look really close at his arms, you can see there's like a white aura or so that suggests it actually has been cut out of something else or
Yeah,
something.
it looks photoshopped or AI. Like, there's it's one or the other. Like, things are. I would think that if you took like a band photo, you would have some shadows, right? The shadows you might see in the railing, shadows you might see in whatever glass that is back there, because that also looks weird because I'm like, the background is in colored, but whatever is like the rooftops of whatever buildings are there is definitely tinted something.
Actually, check this out, Sam. Look at the bottom left, right? If you look at the bottom left, in the glass in the bottom left, that building is in perspective with the buildings not in the glass. You see what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, like
Now,
there's
but now look at to the right. To the right, the building is not in perspective with the buildings behind you. Do you see that?
yes, everything is weird about this photo.
Does that make it cool? I mean, like, how often do we really look at PR photos? We look at them for like 1/8 of a second. This one, we're like going over inch by inch. Does that mean it's an effective photo?
Well, think there is a level of us questioning everything right now because there is this AI thing. Like, I'm always like yelling at the elders because they see a photo of, something that happened or did not happen because it was AI created. And I'm like, this is not even real. Like, especially in America because, we just, John and I just live in the greatest place on earth these days. So I'm always like, is this real? Is this real? So I'm like always asking myself this. And sometimes like photos just look fake.
This
And
photo. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm glad. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
and I'm okay with some fake photos, but this is a lot.
This photo is weirdly eerie. It's got the uncanny valley thing going, you know? But the other question is, why photos? Like, why not just take a normal picture? You know what I mean? M, what's your take on this photo? Do you love it?
Oh yeah. every time every time I look at it, I notice something completely different. The way that the shirt is hanging on him doesn't look like he's actually wearing the shirt.
What do they Photoshop the shirt on? It's like, we need to give him a better shirt. Let's Photoshop this pimp shirt on.
Oh my God.
Pimp shirt is just the best descriptor,
Are we just creating a conspiracy theory against this photo?
Yes. Also, the shadow of the hat on his face doesn't seem right with the lighting of things.
Nothing makes sense. Nothing.
No, but
Question everything.
maybe like I always feel like this is like in Blade, you know, in Blade Runner, they like make the replicants look at a photo and they're like, and they could tell if you're a replicant or not. It's like, this is the like, do you see anything wrong with this photo, human? You know, it's like everything is just slightly off on the photo. You know what I mean? Just slightly off, like nothing quite snaps together.
Well, just look at that
Yeah.
bent arm. That bent arm is weird.
It
Oh,
is.
yeah.
And it looks like his arms are like two totally different lengths. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Oh, it does.
Do you think they put his head on someone else's body?
Oh, no.
And
Maybe.
why not just take a like, see, someone said, I think it was Sam, said, why is he wearing a hat? I think it's because he's lost most of his hair and he's self-conscious about it. I feel bad for him. So I actually think the hat is fine, but I think what he should do is do the Brian Ferry Roxy Music thing, is instead of wearing this pimp shirt, like he should straight up wear a suit. You know what I mean? Like a very suave, he's a skinny guy. He's in relatively good shape, it looks like. Put on, you know, a well-fitting suit and you'll look rad as hell. You know, instead, he just looks like someone's uncle, I guess. Someone's like twice divorced uncle. Like, I don't know.
Oh my God, I just got the hat. It's Carmen San Diego.
It is.
Oh
This might be like my new favorite PR picture just because it's so slightly off.
God. Yes, it's so good.
Like, you
I
really have
think we
to.
need to look at this again next week and like analyze it further.
Sam, what if it's different next week? Like, what if
Yes.
we're looking at it and like it's different next week?
It might be. We don't know.
It does kind of look like one of those pictures where he just blink, you know?
Yeah, it
Like kind
does.
of any minute.
I will give him his stare is very intense. It really looks like he's
Yes.
looking at you, doesn't it?
He's
He's gonna
following
give me
you.
nightmares. Yeah, it's pretty spooky. So anyway, definitely go online and look at Peter Murphy's Swoon. Featuring, oh, I didn't even mention that Trent Reznor's on this track.
Yes.
Well, it's nice that Trent's paying Peter back somehow. You know, cash and royalties might be nice, but you know, whatever. Whatever, Trent. So, anyways, this photo is great, man. Anyway, I wish nothing but the best for Peter Murphy. I hope he solves whatever issues he's got. And I hope this album's gonna be cool. I'm gonna buy it. I actually went to buy online and it wasn't for sale. Here's something that's weird. I live near Philadelphia. I don't live in a town called Media, but a town Media is like 8 minutes from me. It's a small town, right? The re this record label is in Media, Pennsylvania. I'm like, what?
That's so cool.
Can
Small
you
world.
just drive there and
I
like
might.
pick up your record?
I might. I'd be like, yo, is Peter around? I gotta ask him about his pimp shirt, you know?
Oh, that see, that would be a good merch item.
Pimp shirts?
Yes. Yeah, just like the louder, like the colors, the better. And the
Well,
patterns.
I think John should just drive there and interview him about the pimp shirt and the hat. Just those two
Yes.
items, nothing else.
It's like Peter's only
Yes.
doing, due to Peter's recent issues, he's only doing one interview. John, we're giving you that interview. Hey, Peter, what's up with the pimp shirt, man?
Exactly.
Well, anyway, Peter's cool. I wish him the best.
Yeah.
Sam or Em, anything else you want to cover or talk about or mention?
No,
I forgot. Sorry.
I think we covered a lot today.
I
We
forgot
did.
one of the bands that I'm really excited for at Pooza, and I feel bad, so I'm giving them a shout out now. Guntwy are playing. They're really good. Go check out their album Capital Deal Arsenic right now if you haven't already. It's incredible.
Capital. So yes, that's that. M, wrap us up with a tune.
I played mine, Sam.
Oh, Sam,
Oh,
sorry.
yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, speaking of the Philly area and near Don, there is a band called Earth.
Oh.
I don't know how to say their name. Is I think it's Earth. They're actually from the Philly area, and they feature former members of like Aspiga and Public Serpents and Reunions and Seeing Snakes. They're putting out their debut album on March 7th on Uncle Styles Records. So I'm gonna play their latest tracks, which is Streets Don't Sing.